good to be back and sharing the word with you again. And I feel like this morning, the Lord's put on my heart to pick up with Asa. King Asa, if you all can remember back, it's been a month since I preached, but it's probably been over 2 months since I preached on Asa, because the last time or two when I was sharing, maybe it was another theme. Like, I know one of the weeks was Father's Day, so I shared about fathers and things like that. So I want to pick up with King Asa, and where we're going to be looking at is 2 Chronicles. So you can turn your Bible to 2 Chronicles. We're going to read the first couple of verses of chapter 15, but also the last verse of 14. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles, the last verse of chapter 14, and then the first 7 verses of chapter 15. Okay. And this is what it says. The last verse, they just come back from this wonderful victory against this innumerable, insurmountable enemy that the Lord has defeated for them. And there's this awesome victory, and they're coming back from that, and we're finishing that. And this is what it says. They also attacked the camps of the herdsmen and carried off droves of sheep and goats and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Obed. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with great distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." Now, as I said, King Asa is one of the kings that the Lord used him to bring about an amazing work of reform, amazing work of renewal, an amazing work of recovery. He was recovering those things that were lost, recovering the word of God in obedience to it, destroying all those things that were not of the Lord, getting rid of the high places and getting rid of idols and Asherah poles and whatever some of those things were, destroying them and crushing them. And he was very diligent and had just this sense of urgency that we need to obey the Lord. We need to follow the Lord. We need to listen to the Lord. And a great work of renewal and recovery was done. And as we know, wherever the Lord's working, the enemy's not going to be far behind. He can't stand to see the Lord have his proper place among his people. So immediately, he brings against them this army, this innumerable army. And it shouldn't surprise us, though it often does, that when we're doing the Lord's work, the enemy is going to try to fight us and try to stop us. And what they do is they look to the Lord. And that's what we have to do in our lives. Often, we have these wonderful opportunities to get to know the Lord more and more, just like that song we were singing this morning that reflects Paul's words in Philippians 3, "Oh, I want to know him." Well, the awesome opportunity to get to know the Lord better is frequently disguised in some insurmountable problem right in front of us. And that's what Asa and the people of Israel had to face. This enemy had come against them. It was countless. It was an insurmountable problem. Well, it was to them in the natural realm, if you look with these eyes. But what did they do? They looked to the Lord. The Lord gave them victory. What a wonderful, wonderful victory it was. And that's where we're at here, where they're coming back from that victory. Out of that victory, they have this great spoil. There's this great abundance. The NIV says that they carried off droves of sheep and goats and camels. But I was reading that again in Darby's version, the New Translation, and there was one word that struck me, and that's what I want to think about a little bit this morning as we continue on in our thoughts about Asa. The verse 15 in the Darby says, "They smote also the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem." Does anybody know what word stuck out to me there and I want to share on this morning? Maybe it stuck out to you as I read it. One word in that verse that sticks out to me. Okay, well, here's the word that got me as I read that in this different translation. It was the word abundance. And that's what the word that struck me was, abundance. So the Lord got me thinking a little bit about abundance and the fact that he is a God of abundance. Our Lord is an abundant provider. The scripture is filled with telling us about this God who abundantly provides for us. Now, I had to think about it a little bit and meditated on it a bit, as I have often in my life, because I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes God has a hard time convincing me that he is an abundant provider. You ever had that problem? You know the scripture says it, but you're not always so convinced about it. And so even though he is so awesome and so wonderful and he abundantly provides for us, and it's out of that victory they had this great abundance for us. It's out of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. There is such an abundance for us. We don't always believe that. And so the Lord has to convince us. And so I want to spend a few minutes this morning trying to convince us to really acknowledge the Lord as that one who is our abundance. He's an abundant provider. And we can look in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I actually just want to look at two verses in the Old and then a few, about three or four in the New, just to underline and remind us about the Lord who just provides for us abundantly. He is a God of abundance. There's these victories all throughout the Bible, and particularly in the Old Testament when there's victories in actual war. Of course, for us, it's victories in spiritual warfare. There's always a great abundance that's brought out from those victories. Here's one verse from Psalms. Actually, it's one section. It's three verses. Psalm 36 I'm going to read from. I'm going to be looking at verses 7 through 9. They can kind of sum up a lot of what the Old Testament speaks to us about when it comes to the abundance of God's provision for us, how abundantly he provides for us. Again, this is Psalm 36, verses 7 through 9. And they say, "How priceless is your unfailing love! Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your rivers of delights, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." Such wonderful verses. And they speak about the abundance that the Lord provides for us. They speak about a lot of things, about his love and his protection and his care. But there I was looking at that word, "they feast on the abundance of your house." So again, that little section from Psalm 36 can sum up many of the verses we find in the New Testament, that God is a God of abundance. He will abundantly provide for us. He has abundantly provided for us, and he will continue to abundantly provide for us. Now, sometimes the way he does it, though, can surprise us a little bit and throw us off. It's not the way we would do it, right? We have to think often of those verses about my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are far above your thoughts, because he does it sometimes in a way that can throw us a little bit. Maybe these verses from Psalm 66 will remind us that the way God brings us into abundance might not be the way we choose to have it done, but that's the way he does it sometimes. This is from Psalm 66. I'm going to read from verses 8 to 12. Psalm 66, 8 to 12. Again, speaking of one of the ways sometimes that God brings us into abundance, and maybe the reason why we don't always get to that place of abundance we should be, because we're not sure we like going through the process to get to that place of abundance. Here's what it says. "Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens upon our backs." Now, not too many of us are probably crazy about that verse, are we? "You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance." So you see, the Lord wants to bring us to a place of abundance in our life. Sometimes the way he does it, we're not too crazy about it. But it doesn't always have to be that way, but it is that way sometimes. We just need to learn how to submit to the sovereignty of God. And when he's bringing us through something, just keep in mind, okay, somebody might be riding over my head right now. I might be in what feels like a prison, and I might have this great burden on me, but Is God trying to bring me to a place of abundance? Now, we need discernment because it might be the enemy is just trying to sit on you and you need to learn how to refuse that. As the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we need to resist the devil, but we need to be careful in the process. We're not resisting something that's from God's hand that he wants to bring us into a greater realization of the abundance of his provision for us. Well, those are just a couple of verses from the Old Testament. And now I want to look at the New Testament. But let me ask you something first. If I said the word abundant or abundance or abundantly, is there a verse that comes to mind to you quickly? Somebody, if you have a verse, raise your hand. It comes to you quickly, even if you can't quote it exactly with those words. There you go. I think there's two verses that are probably the top two. That's one of them. In my opinion, it's kind of hard to pick which one, the best one as far as maybe the most well-known or the favorite verse or whatever you want to know. But that certainly is one that comes to mind. That's the first one I wanted to share on. And Dennis gave it to us, and I'm going to read it again. Okay, it's John 10:10. All right, John 10:10. When we come to the New Testament and we think about this God of abundance, this verse often comes to mind, especially since in our day, maybe not so much a generation ago, but certainly in our day, this verse is spoken of frequently. And it says this. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." See, that's a wonderful verse. But oftentimes, people haven't thought much about it. In our day and age, we hear a lot about it because people want us to know, wait a minute, what's this sense of thinking of God as some sort of miser that just, you know, gives us a little bit of this and a little bit of that? He came to give us life and that more abundant. The abundant life, that's what the Lord's about. And so when we come to the New Testament, it's a little bit more clear that this abundance that the Lord's speaking of has a spiritual aspect to it. And that's the most important part, see, because people can tend to focus on the physical or the material. Certainly in the Old Testament, much of this idea of abundance, though not exclusively, has to do with outward things or material things or physical things. So in the New Testament, this verse tells us, why did the Lord come? To give us life and that more abundantly. He came to give us the abundant life. Now the problem with that verse is often the people that quote it the most are the people that they're well-meaning but they miss the point because they don't see the spiritual aspect of it. They focus on material things. It's often folks that come from that perspective of thinking the abundant life means God's going to give you a lot of money. He's going to give you a nice house. He's going to give you a nice motorcycle. He's going to give you this and that and the other. You know, they think everything is material, or at least it's primarily material. So that's you got to be careful about that verse because Christ came to give us life abundantly, but it's not about material things. I remember many years ago, this brother in the Lord gave me this book. I never got a chance to read it. And my roommate at the time thought it was kind of an interesting title. He said, "Hey, do you mind if I read this book?" I said, "No, I don't really have the time. I'm not really interested in it. I just took it because the brother was giving it to me. I wanted to be gracious. I didn't want to say, I'm not interested in that." So I took the book. He read it. When he was done reading, I said, "Well, what did you think about the book?" And the guy was speaking about the abundant life. He said, "Here's the problem I have with the book." He's talking about the abundant life and how God provides for us abundantly. And he said, "Now I want you to understand, this is not only about material things, but then the whole rest of the book was all about how God's going to give you material things." So the Lord Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly, he told us. And we need to know that, but we need to make sure we don't make the mistake, as so many do, and read the abundant life to mean he's going to give us abundant things. Big houses, lots of money, you know, everything our hearts desire, you know. God will bless us with things. Certainly he will. That's not to say he won't. It's just that when we think about the abundant life, we need to make sure we're focusing on spiritual things primarily. These other things, the earthly blessings, God will give them to us. Or he may give them to us, but we're not focusing on them because that's not what the abundant life is about. Here's what the Lord said in Luke chapter 12, that folks that do focus on material things should think about more often. This is Luke 12. It's verses 14 and 15. And the context is somebody comes to the Lord and says, "Lord, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." You know, we're always trying to take the Lord from this position he has, this awesome, great Lord and Savior, and, you know, trying to make him like somehow he's an arbitrator between us and our brothers, that we might have something wrong. You know, we want him to settle it. So this guy comes to him and says, "Tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So it's very important we understand that. Jesus came to give us the abundant life. The abundant life is not an abundance of possessions. Because many of our dear brothers and sisters will say, "Well, I know that. The abundant life is not about the abundance of possessions." But then that's all they end up talking about. We were talking about the other night, my sister and brother-in-law are up from Florida, and we were talking about, you know, religious television. They were talking about some things they like and some people they like to listen to. And I said, the problem with religious television, you on the one hand, you're kind of glad there's something going there that has a biblical flavor to it. But so much of it is all they talk about is money, money, money. It's hard to listen to a message on television where the person's not speaking about money. So I'm glad they have Christian television. I'm just feel grieved that so much of it misses the point and tries to make the abundant life about an abundance of possessions. Okay, enough about that, because I know none of us have that problem. We have the abundant life clearly before us the way the Bible presents it. Here's a verse that, again, will kind of focus our thoughts about the abundant life and one of the aspects of it. This is from Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. "And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." Now, isn't that a wonderful verse? Abundant grace was upon them all. Now, you can look through your New Testament, and you should go home, and if you have a Bible program on the computer, or if you have a concordance, look up abundance, abundant, abundantly. You're going to find lots of verses that talk about an abundance of comfort, an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of love, and like this verse, an abundance of grace. You see, for us, the abundant life has a spiritual nature to it primarily. Again, that's not to discount in that, and secondarily, God may give us some physical and material blessings as well. He knows best what we can handle. Some of us can handle more without it becoming a god. Some of us, money's too much of a problem, so he's not going to give it to us. But what he will give us is an abundance of grace, an abundance of comfort, an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of love. See, this is the abundant life. So our God is a God of abundance. When we're faced with some need before us, maybe it's some insurmountable need like Asa did when an uncountable enemy was in front of him, or maybe it can even be some small thing that we feel the Lord's calling us to, we often spend a lot of time kind of arguing with the Lord. We're trying to convince the Lord and convince ourselves we can't do that thing, whether it's a big thing or a little thing. You know, we're like Moses. You know, the Lord calls Moses, and what does Moses do? There's this book, I've mentioned it before. I've never read the book. I like the title. "Here I am, Lord, send Aaron." You know, that can be our focus sometimes. Why? Because God's calling us to something. We don't really believe he's going to provide the ability to do that thing he's calling us to. So we make it, "I don't speak very well, Lord. You know, I stumble all over. I don't know the scripture that well. There's a lot of things in my life that need deal." You know, we'll start making these excuses. Well, I like 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. This is a verse we should all know and memorize, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Man, you talk about abundance. Now, in this one, it's going to use a lot of different words instead of all, but I think in the King James, it keeps using that word all over and over again. All, all. But here it uses all as well as one or two other words. Here's what it says. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." Now, what do we think about that verse? Isn't that wonderful? Let's read it again. "God is able to make all grace, not just squeak it out to you, but abound to you, so that, not sometimes, but always, having all sufficiency not in most things, but in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed. So what does God tell us? He's saying, I'll provide for you. You will abound in what I provide for you. So it is important that we don't try to stumble into areas God hasn't called us into. But when God is calling us into something, we need to know that He is all-sufficient and He will provide abundantly whatever it is that we need. If it's that word for those unsaved friends of ours, if it's that word for that family member that's not following the Lord anymore, if it's facing difficult people, if it's dealing with financial issues, He told us, all things, everything, says it over and over and over again. So we don't have to doubt that when He says all, He means all. When He says everything, He means everything. When He says every good deed, He means every good deed. All right, the last verse on abundance. I'm actually running out of time because I wanted to do the other side of that, talk about the way we think about poverty. We think in a mentality of poverty. I'm just wondering if I can squeeze it in or not. So I'll have to think about that in a minute. But if not, I might have to end on this verse. Okay, so if John 10:10 is the verse that comes to mind a lot when you think of abundance, abundant, abundantly. I came to give you life and that more abundant. What to you and to me is a verse that goes right up there with it. They're kind of neck and neck. I don't know. Sometimes I like one better than the other, but sometimes I like the other one better than that one. But it should be come to mind immediately when we think of words like abundance, abundant, abundantly. If you don't know this verse and it doesn't come to your mind right away, you should go home today and memorize it so the Lord will always bring it back to your mind. When you're faced with a situation and you're wondering, what am I going to do about this situation? Does anybody know the verse I'm thinking of? It used to be a chorus. We used to sing it in the DC Fellowship all the time. Oh, isn't that an awesome verse? Okay, if you want to write it down or look at it, it's Ephesians 3:20, and then 21 follows it. I'm going to read both of them, okay? Ephesians 3:20 and 21. And it says this. I'm going to read the NIV, although I memorized it and I loved it the way Dennis said it was in the old King James. Exceeding abundantly. I love the way that says it. But here's how it says it in the NIV. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Aren't those two wonderful verses? Let me read it again, and I'm going to close. But you are going to have to remember that, because the next time I pick up this thought, I want to talk a little bit more about the problem of our poverty-mindedness. We think like we're paupers when we're really rich in Christ. I'm going to talk about that some. I've got a couple stories to share with you. But let's close with those wonderful verses again. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.